Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Killington opened for business in October this year, and many of the other big ski areas will open later this month. But they are multi-million dollar operations with snowmaking gear that can work overtime once the weather gets cold. And they can be pricey to ski at. A rack rate lift ticket at Killington for a Saturday or Sunday costs $89. At Hardack, though, in St. Albans, the lift ticket is free.
The community of St. Albans is a working-class community, and I think if Hardack went to where I'm from in New York City, and I don't think the New York City family would walk into the lodge because it doesn't look like some of the more modern lodges that have more modern bathrooms with all the facilities that a lodge should have. When you walk into the Hardack Lodge, there's probably a gap at the top of the door this big on one side, and it kind of feathers down to probably a 16th of an inch because the building settled so much. But everybody overlooks that. They look at the big picture of Hardack, that it does work, it doesn't look, you know, it's clean, it looks like it needs a little work, but it doesn't seem to be scrutinized for it not being something that it should be. And I think that's unique. I think people are very happy, you know, content at Hardack, being just the hill that they grew up on. And on a busy day on the weekend, they'll get hundreds of people there. And everybody seems to be happy.
That's Steve Wunsch, the ski coach at BFA, the local high school in St. Albans. He's featured in a new documentary on community-run ski hills in Vermont. I recently spoke with the film's producers, brothers Tyler and Elliot Wilkinson Ray, and they told me why these small ski hills have been so important culturally to the state of Vermont.
I mean, they're really the way skiing started. So, you know, the idea was you could have this old car that broke down and, you know, maybe it was too rusted to really run, but the engine still worked. And so you just rig it around some pulleys and you could ski with it. You know, Vermont has seen the evolution of skiing happen right all around it, you know, starting with farmers and just people that were into being outside in the winter. And then as it evolved into kind of larger scale, more of a commercial industrial sort of sport, those kind of original small skiers have declined. And so, you know, we're talking about why the ones that are still here are very important to us. And, you know, the main reasons they're important is that they're affordable. They're either free or a reasonable price. They're close to where people live because all you need is a little hill to have a small ski area. You can, you know, have it right near Burlington or, you know, right near where people live. So they're accessible, they're affordable, and they're just family friendly. They're safe for kids and just easy to use.
Yeah, lots of kids in your film. Skiing around, learning to ski, sometimes playing with shovels in slightly dangerous ways, but lots of kids. And in fact, I'm not sure I remember which ski area it is, but one of them that you have, it might have been one of the very, very small hills that is sort of only known to people in the know, but that rope tow is actually still run by a tractor motor.
Yeah.
Do you remember which one that is?
Yep, that's one that's up in the Northeast Kingdom, and it's on a 300-cow dairy farm, and it's the same tractor that the farmer uses at the farm, and when he's going to run the rope tow, he just puts his skis in the bucket and drives it up and hooks the PTO off the back into the rope tow, and that's as, you know, as traditional as you got. That was how people first started doing these, is they'd either hook it right up to the tractor or just take the tire off the wheel and put the rope around it. And it was just so simple. And that's why there were so many of them. And these places were born, you know, back when Vermont was still predominantly an agricultural community. And that's what people did in the winter. You know, you farm in the summer, but then in the winter, there wasn't so much going on. And so people went skiing, and these were centers of the town. This was what people did. And, you know, we've interviewed people who say, you know, these were like, they had dances and, you know, they'd go on trips as a ski association. So they were really an important part of these towns.
One of the reasons that these small ski areas are able to charge in some cases nothing, or in other cases a very low dollar figure for a lift ticket for a day, is because they operate mostly or exclusively on volunteer labor. You profiled Cochran's in Richmond, and volunteers there do pretty much everything to keep the slopes running. Let's hear a little bit from the movie.
It also gives people ownership, which I think is incredible. That, you know, if you have that much sweat equity in this place, as some people do, clearly they're going to be tied to it, and they're going to love it, and they're going to love skiing here. And it's their way of getting something back, too, I think, in the end.
Anytime you can remember something damaging happening here, the next day there's a crew here helping to rebuild it and get it going again.
Say what you want, there's something about getting your hands dirty and really, it's like earning your turns to ski, you know, putting in the effort to get the payback and getting that at your little ski hill. That's really rewarding, you know.
Why did you feel like you should focus on these volunteers?
The volunteers are important from an aspect of how do you run a ski area. These places are only around because the volunteers keep them running. So if you're trying to understand why these small ski areas exist, you need to understand this volunteer aspect. But it's also important in understanding these ski areas beyond just a place where people learn how to ski. They're not just points of access to the sport. There is a sense of community that forms around them that I think to a lot of people involved in them, it goes beyond just the act of skiing, and that this is where people get involved in a community. This is where people meet other people in their town, and this is where people give back. And they happen to be a ski area because we're in Vermont, but these places exist in, you know, in other forms as well. And so this whole idea of volunteering is important to understanding why people feel so passionate about these places and what makes them so unique, and why the film to us really extends beyond just a ski movie into more of a movie about Vermont and the Vermont community.
Yeah, you got some nice shots there of people doing flips and skiing in some pretty interesting ways, but it's not really one of those you know, outdoor extreme sports kind of films. This is really about the people who are involved in these slopes. And that money issue, having the volunteers, allows places like Northeast Slopes, which you also profile, to have an operating budget of $20,000 or $25,000 a year. I mean, that's unheard of for a ski area. That's a tiny, tiny amount. It's like nothing.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's why Northeast Slopes is still a thriving little ski hill, is that, you know, it's in East Corinth, Vermont, which is, you know, a pretty rural place. There's not a lot of population around there. And so just out of necessity, they have learned how to adapt and make and just cut costs in every way possible, you know, drawing on volunteer resources, you know, limiting their times of operation, and, you know, just using all kinds of community knowledge and experience to fix their groomer, to just find things in ways that are way below the cost and the price that it normally costs to run a ski area. So it's pretty amazing.
How is climate change affecting things? So you touch on this very briefly in the film, but for these small ski areas that don't have the capacity or the budget to be making a lot of snow, and then we have these seasons where it can be really intermittent with snowfall and sometimes get warm and melt, are they going to be able to continue unless they can get big snowmaking operations?
Well, this was our closing question of a lot of the interview we did. And you hear a variety of responses, you know, at Cochrane's, which put in snowmaking, and Hardack and St. Albans did as well. You know, Cochrane studied climate trends, and they said, well, if you look over 10 years, there's still going to be enough cold nights that with snowmaking, we can make enough snow to still be able to ski. And then Northeast Slopes took it in a different direction, and they said, well, because of climate change, it doesn't make sense for us to make this investment. We're going to ski here as long as we can. When there's snow, we're going to ski. When there's not snow, we're not going to ski. And by keeping our costs really low and only volunteers, we're not, you know, it's not a make or break thing for us. We can close and still open again and not have to lay people off. So they're trying to be, you know, versatile in that aspect. But climate change is a big concern, I think, for all these places and skiing in Vermont. But, you know, in many ways, these small places are relatively well geared to deal with that because their operating costs are so low. They're smaller places. They're not dependent on people coming up from Boston to survive.
Where did you guys grow up skiing?
Cochran's.
Yep. We grew up in Richmond, Vermont, and, you know, our parents were not really interested in us skiing. It sounded like an expensive sport to them. And our daycare provider when we were really little was like, no, there's this cool place in town. You got to go check it out. It's really, you know, it's really affordable. And it's really not just about skiing. It's about family and community and just kind of being together in the winter. And she brought us all over there as a big pack of little rugrats. And, and it changed our lives.
Yeah. We talk about these places as how people get into the sport. And, you know, we are an example of that. We would not have gotten into skiing if this place hadn't been a couple miles down the road. And over 20 years later, we're still passionate about the sport of skiing.
The film is called United We Ski. It's a great look at small ski hills in Vermont. And it's made by brothers Tyler and Elliot Wilkinson-Ray. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having us in.
Thanks for having us.